This talk was presented by Nancy Scott on August 21st, 2022. Scripture and other readings precede the talk. Comments and reflections follow the talk.
A reading from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Alas, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak because I am a youth." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I am a youth, because everywhere I send you, you shall go. And all that I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord." Then the Lord stretched out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, "Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have appointed you this day over the nations and over the kingdoms to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
A reading from Psalm 46, 1 through 7. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold.
Bittersweet by George Herbert. Ah, my dear angry Lord, since thou dost love, yet strike, cast down, yet help afford, sure I will do the like. I will complain, yet praise. I will bewail, approve, and all my sour sweet days I will lament and love.
This is a reading from John 16, 19 through 24 and verse 33. Jesus knew that they wished to question him, and he said to them, "Are you deliberating together about this, that I said, 'A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me'? Truly, truly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will grieve, but your grief will be turned into joy. Whenever a woman is in labor, she has pain because her hour has come. But when she gives birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy that the child has been born into the world. Therefore, you too have grief now, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away from you. In that day, you will not question me about anything. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, so that your joy may be made full. These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have trouble, but take courage. I have overcome the world."
Hi. So, this is different. I am not going to be teaching a passage because that's not really what I do. I don't really, not a studier in that way, although I have been. That's not what I'm going to do. I'm just going to share some reflections and hopefully we can encourage each other together this morning. One of my favorite authors, Frederick Buechner, died this past Monday at the age of 96. almost made it almost to 100. So he has gifted us with many good words. I'm going to start with a quote from Frederick Buechner. If you are not familiar with his work, I urge you to check him out. If I were called upon to state in a few words the essence of everything I was trying to say, both as a novelist and as a preacher, it would be something like this. Listen to your life. See it for the fathomless mystery that it is, in the boredom and pain of it no less than in the excitement and gladness. Touch, taste, smell your way to the holy and hidden heart of it, because in the last analysis, all moments are key moments, and life itself is grace. I was thinking about what to share this morning, and what came to me was, what does it mean when life is hard? So I'm not necessarily going to answer that question, but I'm just going to ponder it with you, perhaps. A few years ago, before the pandemic, I remember having this thought of like, wow, I haven't had anything really bad happen in a while. And life's been pretty comfortable and pretty okay. And it felt kind of lovely and also kind of different to reflect on that. And then along with that thought, I had the thought of, it won't last because there will be something else to come. And yet I kind of had a strange comfort that one of the gifts of, I think, being older is that I've weathered a few of those, and so I have kind of a sense of like, well, when it comes again, I can weather it again, right? That doesn't mean it's easy or nice, but anyway, then the pandemic came, and while for many, of course, that has been a season of great distress and fear and loss, for me it was more of a, oh, I don't have to go anywhere. That's cool. And I probably got better sleep than I've gotten in a long time, and it wasn't all that bad. But then came 2022, and I want to share a little bit about what happened. Some of you guys know, all of you, I think, all of you here know that I love my dog, and that Farley has been a very faithful companion for many years. And also, most of you know that I lost him in January. And I'm going to try to get through this. What I wanted to share about that was that the way that it happened was really something. And this is kind of under the banner of listening to our lives, right? Because to listen to our life means to try to lean into what happens and reflect on it and put it into a narrative that we can start to make sense of over time. And so that's the spirit in which I share this story. So I don't know how many of you know this part of the story, but I was offered a trip, I was invited on a trip to Ecuador with a birding friend, a birding trip, and you know I love birds too, dogs and birds. And so I said yes, and it was right after Christmas. I was to go to Ecuador. And if you remember right after Christmas, there were a few things that could have gotten in the way of my going to Ecuador, like a major snowstorm, which was like the day before my flight was to leave. And then also Ecuador required a negative COVID test that was within like a certain number of hours before arriving, which the places were all snowed in the moment I needed to do one to get to Ecuador. And so there were all these obstacles that could have prevented me from going, and yet each one was cleared and I went. And the night that I arrived in Quito, I called Jordan. Jordan and Nick are, of course, my daughter and son-in-law that actually live with me right now, and were living with me then. Called to check in and say I made it, and Jordan immediately said, there's something wrong with Farley. And I thought, oh. He had had a heart murmur for a long time. We were managing a heart issue. I thought we had plenty of time left, at least 6 months or a year. So I was concerned. We spent the next couple of days managing, kind of figuring out what was happening. And within a couple of days, the vet had seen him and said that his heart had entered a very strange rhythm and he probably wouldn't live very much longer. And so he probably wouldn't live until I got home. So I began thinking about how I am going to get home sooner. I looked at flights. It was New Year's weekend. There weren't any seats on any planes. So again, while all those obstacles had cleared away, there were also all these obstacles toward me getting home. And I had this sense of, he's going to die before I get home. And for some reason, God is doing it this way. And he's doing it this way for me, for Farley, for Jordan, for Nick. And I just couldn't get that feeling away. I mean, I just kind of knew it in my bones. And so, sure enough, I did get home early, a few days early. He died while I was departing from the Quito airport. So I didn't make it. And the experience for Jordan and Nick is their own to tell, but it was a very profound experience for them to be with him when he died, and to also know that I was trying to get there and hadn't gotten there. So it was a really big deal for them. And for me, as I think about the story of my life and I try to listen to it, I've lost a lot of dogs. I've gone through this a lot. I even have the sense of like, oh, I know how to do this. You know, when Farley was diagnosed with this problem, I knew it was coming, and I knew that, you know, I've done this before. You have to say goodbye to dogs. It's a thing. So this one was really different, though. And it surprised me because it was so different. And I think what surprised me was, oh, I kind of thought I knew what to do. I thought I knew how to do this. I thought I knew sort of like I had some kind of weird sense of control of like, you know, I'll be there, it'll happen this way. Not that I have any control over the breath of life in any animal or me, but I knew how to walk through it. And this time, God said, yeah, no, you don't. And it was very difficult and hard because I wasn't here. And because for me in particular, I don't know about, well, I do know about many others, but goodbyes are very important because, as some of you also know, I lost my brother when I was very young, and I wasn't able to say goodbye to him. And so goodbyes are very, they're a very big deal in my world. And so combined with all of that made losing Farley a really big loss, and I know that, you know, he was a dog, all that, but he was a special relationship in my life. And so listening to our lives, how do we listen to our lives in this way? I actually spend a lot of my time in grieving with others. It's what I do for a living. And I can say that for each individual person that I sit with, it's a different experience. It's a very individual and very profound experience. And it's a very profound experience to sit with it and to sit with people over many years. And it is a gift to me. I consider it a gift that I've been able to watch that. And I also think it makes me, I don't know, I was going to say kind of oddly heavy. I think about life a lot because of that, because it's kind of what I do. But also because of this, I know well that grief and pain are a part of every life. And that leaning into that pain and grief is the way of healing. That rather than our temptation, which is to numb and distract ourselves, leaning into our pain is the way of healing. There's an author I appreciate who has, I don't know if he coined the term, but he uses the word that we are anti-fragile. And he compares it to something that's fragile. It's like a teacup. You drop it on concrete, smashes into a million pieces, right? Plastic is not fragile. You can drop it on the same plastic, and it will bounce and not break. Humans, however, are anti-fragile. And what he means by that is we need to be stressed in order to grow. And so, like a muscle that in working out has to kind of break down in order to build back, it's a metaphor, I think, for our souls and for the growth of our souls. And so, by leaning into our pain, rather than numbing and distancing from it, This is the way of strengthening and healing. And I have seen meaning and hope arise mysteriously, very mysteriously, from deep pain. Meaning and hope from deep pain. What a mystery. For some reason, God has designed this life to include the lessons of grief and pain to bring us to the kingdom, where we will have ultimate healing at last. You might recall the voyage of the Dawn Treader and the story of Eustace, who hates everything and is a real piece of work. And then I forget the part where he like goes and finds the thing that he puts on his arm and becomes a dragon, but he becomes a dragon, right? And he doesn't really like being a dragon very much, but he's useful to others, and he takes care of things. He brings the boat things that they need that they wouldn't get otherwise. So they kind of liked having him around as a dragon, a little bit more than as a boy who hated everything. But then you may recall the scene where he meets Aslan in the wilderness of the island, and he says, "You have to take the skin off." And so he takes his skin off. He does it a couple times, and he's like, "What? It's not really, you know what?" I'd forgotten that part of the story, that he tries to take his skin off first. And then Aslan says, "Let me do it." And when he describes it, he says it was the most excruciating pain he'd ever felt. Agonizing pain. And through that process, he becomes a boy again. And the author says, to be strictly accurate, he began to be a different boy. He wasn't completely a different boy, but he began to be a different boy. The cure had begun. Listening to our lives and listening to one another's lives. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. So in this process of deep pain and meaning and hope arising in the midst of it, a deeper well can be dug inside of us, out of which we have to love God and to love others. If we are fortunate, we allow for this deeper well to be dug. There's an author, he's a songwriter actually, named Andrew Peterson, who has written lots of stories too. He's written a memoir or two. He tells stories from his life and his thrashing about with God. And he says that it wasn't, the questions for him weren't, "Are you there, God?" The question was, "Who are you anyway?" And I think that's really poignant, because how many of us haven't asked that on some level? He says he continued to not doubt God's existence, but to doubt his goodness. And I think that's the challenge for us when we face difficult circumstances in our lives and pain and loss and grief. And I will just add in here that the grief that I was describing with Farley is one kind of grief. There's another kind of grief that comes out of our choices that hurt us. Our sinful commitments and blindness that often trip us up. And there's that pain as well that we get to face and deal with. He tells a story, though, of when he's really struggling with this. He goes on a retreat at there's a Trappist monastery in Kentucky, at Seminy, Kentucky. I don't know if you've heard of it, but apparently there's a walk that you do, and there's statues, and there's like a Garden of Gethsemane setting where there's a sculpture of the disciples asleep, you know, asleep with each other. And then you walk a little further to where the statue of Jesus was. And he describes walking to the statue and looking for the statue of Jesus. And he says it wasn't like anything he expected. Instead of, this is how he describes, I'll read his words. "The statue looked exactly the way my heart felt, alone, confused, hammered with grief. Faced turned toward the heavens, not in a posture of doubt, but of desperation. The statue was not just a mirror of my suffering, it was a window into God's. I understood in a way that I never had before the profound comfort of the incarnation. Jesus, the man of sorrows, hurts with us. He clothed himself in sorrow, laid down his life, and then shattered the chains of death." So the statue is he's got his arms up and he's just holding his face. He's on his knees, and it's a really powerful statue. I looked it up online, of course. He says after that he was comforted, but he was not healed. So comfort is, I think that comfort is something that we can have in this life. And one of those comforts is knowing that Jesus has gone before us in tremendous suffering and that he has also shattered the chains of death. So the comfort of Christ with us now, the man of sorrows. Peterson also talks about the consolation of doubt. Not doubt in the normal sense, like, I don't know what I think is true about that thing. That's maybe what we think of as doubt. He's talking more about this doubt that is God good in the midst of it. How do we wrestle with that? And the consolation that comes is when one traveler can say to another, I've been there before, and I still don't know where I'm going. It's a mystery, but at least we're in this thing together. So we await the comfort of the kingdom coming on earth as it is in heaven, promised in Scripture. I want to read from Revelation. This is chapter 21, just 3 through 5. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. What a promise. What a promise we have. And not only a promise, just in words, but he shattered the chains of death. He suffered and then rose again. So what does it mean that life is hard? It means different things in each different life. We can listen to our lives and listen to each other's lives and so comfort one another as we await the kingdom. The bad news is it's really hard. The good news is we're in it together. And there is a promised kingdom coming. That's even better news. So I want to close with another quote from Buechner, who I love. Grateful for his long life. The grace of God means something like this. Here is your life. You might never have been, but you are, because the party wouldn't have been complete without you. Here is the world. Beautiful and terrible things will happen. Don't be afraid. I am with you. Nothing can ever separate us. So what I want to do is, I'm going to close with a prayer, and then we'll have a hymn, and then we'll have the discussion time. And I was thinking we might do it a little bit differently and just share, if you want to share something that you'd like prayer about, or if you want to share something so that we can be in it together. So I'll close with prayer. Father, thank you for your grace and your goodness. Thank you that you've brought us here together to know these things together, to celebrate that you have shattered the chains of death. Fix our eyes on Jesus, Lord. Help us to know that his presence is here with us. Father, there are many suffering different things here this morning. Every different life has different struggles. We offer them up to you for your grace to hold, and help us to know how to hold each other in those times and places that are so difficult. Father, I also want to pray for those who aren't with us this morning, for safety in travels, for Ryan and his family backpacking. Give them good views and lovely time together, beauty in the midst. Father, thank you for the beauty that we see in your creation and for the beauty that we see around us as well as the difficulty. Draw our attention to those things as well so that we may celebrate also. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So any thoughts, questions, ponderings?
Well, thank you, Nancy. This is really amazing because I had no idea what you would be teaching about, and yet one of the songs that we sang, the last one, just happened to be the one that just so amazingly, divinely fits, and it's kind of creepy, but yeah, God does that kind of stuff.
I had that same thought. You know, those guys picked the songs, and I just kind of threw them in the order, and yeah, I didn't expect that either. Oh.
So it was interesting, and thank you, Nancy, for sharing that. So strange. We had a similar experience this week to sit with someone who is grieving. Some of you know, but Brenda and I welcomed her mother into our home about almost five years ago now. Yeah. She was very sick. She was in very poor health, and so was her husband, and they had been pretty reclusive for a lot of years, 10 years plus. Her husband passed. She was hospitalized and was near death, and her husband passed away while she was in the hospital. Just this crazy string of events. We brought her into our home and sold her home, but she had this dog. It was an Australian cattle dog named Jules, and we had a dog at the time, and Jules was pretty aggressive and a herder, you know, and we weren't excited about having Jules in our home, truth be told. Wasn't our dog. We didn't raise her, we didn't train her. And anyway, so but recently, this last week, Judy, our mother-in-law, mother, had to put Jules down. She was 14 years old and had been through all kinds of stuff and had all kinds of health issues. She had been anticipating this decision for a week. She had scheduled the appointment, and we kind of said, you know, Judy, the dog was peeing in the house. She was old, you know, but we were dealing with it, so we just said, you know, it's whatever you want to do. Whatever, we support you either way. If you want to wait and let her go naturally, you can do that. If you want to put the dog down, that we'll support you in that. So she chose, I was quite surprised, she chose to go ahead and put the dog down, which I do believe was the right decision because she was in pain. But we got to sit with her through this process, which was really amazing. Judy is, to the best of my knowledge, as of today, not a believer. But I pray for her frequently. I know many of you that know her do. And what a privilege it is to host her in our home and be able to navigate these types of things with her, with the hope that we have. So your story of Farley is very similar because Judy has had many dogs, and she said, this one is different. Jules had been with her for 14 years, and they just had a connection that was unlike anything she had been through with an animal before. So a lot of grieving, and she is not one who shows her emotions well, and just don't want to go into that. But anyway, so yeah, thank you for sharing that, Nancy. That was really helpful. In fact, I may share the recording with her when it becomes available. So yeah.
Yeah, thank you, Nancy. I think something you said that really resonates with me is you talked about, and you focused on grief, but I think it's true of most things in our life, is fitting it into a narrative that helps us to make sense of it. Not that we always make sense of it. And I think that's really something that I try to focus on and do when it comes to grief. I mean, some of you know, I lost my dad when he was 57 to cancer. I was 27. And it had a profound effect on me and continues to have a profound effect on me and has affected our life. But, you know, almost 20 years later now, I can sort of put it into that narrative that I think is so important as believers, not just for grief, for the joys, for the kind of sentinel events of our life. But I really appreciate that perspective and that just that reminder. It's like you can look back and you can see not only was that a difficult time, but what's happened since, and who have I become as a result of those events, both good and challenging, right?
Right, yes, exactly. Yeah, it's really different to look back on those events and kind of see where we've come with them. Yeah, cool. Thank you.
I would just like to be a source of life in my wife's life.
Thanks for sharing, Nancy. Do you remember who it was who said we were unbreakable?
Oh, yes, Anti-Fragile. Yes, his name is Jonathan Haidt. He's a Jewish atheist. and he wrote a book called The Coddling of the American Mind. And it's an excellent book. It's actually about the challenges in education, in university education at this point, with students, with the generation of students who are now in college who have been on social media for the greater part of their adolescence and life. It's kind of the first generation of students, and they started seeing these trends and things about, like, challenges with freedom of speech on campus, challenges with, like, safe spaces and trigger warnings and those kinds of things in an environment that they are saying, as a university environment, should be where ideas are challenged and welcomed and dialogued about. So anyway, that's the book it came from.
Wow, thank you.
Yeah. Other...
This may seem odd and big and vague, but I was introduced to Bonhoeffer in college, and the phrase religionless Christianity has stuck with me since that day. And children and young people are what is important to me in this life. And church is becoming less and less pertinent. They're diverging in different directions. Church culture is becoming an entity unto itself that has, that is different, not in a wholly unique way, but just in a weird way. Which, this is a different church right here, right? So to some degree, we have some connection with that. But I just would value if we in a church, as a church, as a community of believers, would pray together about what that future for our children and for the future of believers, what that looks like. Because I don't think it's church as it is right now, which is what is portrayed as Christianity. And I think when you don't follow that, there can be a sense of, well, if they're a Christian, that's not what I am. So what am I? And I think out of that, true belief can grow and arise. But it can be lonely, and it can be difficult to find the support and the structure to navigate the complexities of living. Difficult to find others with whom you hold connection and through whom you find encouragement and growth. And the concept that adults, that as we age, we have things to offer, you know, like I saw a movie trailer that I never watched, but there was one thing in there that I was like, thought was profound, and it was a woman who is in end-of-life care, and she says, I know less than I used to, but I understand more. And that sense of connection, of understanding, that it's broken in our culture. And I just feel like it's a ship without a rudder. And I just would value, would appreciate, would be grateful for prayer, for hope and young people, and what the future of Christianity looks like in a religionless world.
Very broad.
Thank you. Very broad and also very not broad. I mean, to pray that we would know how to engage that and know how to interact with it. It's a big deal. Yeah.
So just to work off of what Ella just shared, that, yeah, reading about Bonhoeffer and the community of believers type of thing seems to be leaning more the right direction. And in these times that are so triply weird, we really need to rebuild cognitively from the ground up what it means to follow Jesus. So, yeah. Anybody else?
Anyone else? Anybody else has something to share? It will close in prayer again. Jan, yeah.
Through all the difficulties, I'm just reminded and I cry because God's been so good.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Our tears are a gift as well. Debbie.
This morning, from the opening prayer, through all the readings, I was really fighting my emotions, my tears, and I wasn't sure what that was all really about. It just seemed too big to understand. And then your address was really profound to me, and I guess I just, you know, I feel like I have a blessed life and a lot of disappointments in life, and a lot of things that have made me wonder and doubt, and in particular, both of our boys are not believers, and I feel like we didn't do a good job parenting. I think Bob and I both struggle with not really having the marriage we would both like. And, you know, trying to work on that and yet finding ourselves just like we haven't made careful choices. At least I'll speak for myself. I feel like I haven't made good choices. I haven't really been taught how to do that. Anyway, big old stuff. But your admonishment to listen to our lives and to I just appreciate. I appreciate what you said. Thank you.
It might seem weird to be encouraged by talking about grief, but I think part of my hope in talking about this is that. Speaking of church and how church works, we too often, I think, experience church communities as places where we have to be cleaned up before we get there. So I just thought I'd make things a little real here today. And I really appreciate the real that each of you guys is bringing to this and the emotion. And that because life is hard and we screw up a lot. And we hurt a lot. We hurt each other a lot. And we're hanging on together. So, Dom?
To be open sometimes is really tough. And in a group, it's not easy to talk. And I appreciate, Deb, what you had to say. And obviously everyone who's talked. My son and I are going on a hunting trip this week. I thought it was just he and I, but he decided to invite a friend. My son has been struggling with alcohol for a long time. Mm-hmm. And when he decided to bring a friend, I really wanted to opt out. And I told him, I'm out, Lou, you can hunt with your buddy. Because in my mind, it meant he'd probably be drinking on the trip. And then his wife called me, and she said, you know, your son was really excited about going with you. And started making me think, well, I guess I better rethink that. So I decided I'm going to go. Not super looking forward to it exactly, but after today, hearing you talk, it's more than anything, it's God given me an opportunity. And I really appreciate today. It's needed in our church.
Yeah, a difficult opportunity
you've
been given. Well, let's close with another prayer. Would anyone else like to lead us in prayer?
Father, thank you for our time. Thank you for each other, and specifically for this time this morning where our hearts have been open to each other and to you. Give us the mind and heart that we need to trust you, to believe that you are there and that you're real in the midst of a world that wants to steal our souls. And let us be reminded that this sharing that we have together is something we can cherish, and we can have this for each other in an ongoing way. So we thank you for this morning. We thank you for Nancy's sharing and for her leading us to looking inward together and thanking you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
A couple more thoughts, but as we part, I would just encourage us each to remember the various prayers that have been requested this week and beyond, that we pray for each other. And then I also want to say, one of the things that I talk to people about who are in the midst of grief is the need for refreshment. And so I just want to say that it's a beautiful day outside. And I would encourage each of you, as we walk back outside, to notice the leaves on the trees, to notice the color of the sky, to notice the sounds that you hear, to notice what your skin feels of the sun or the breeze, and to know that there is beauty also in the world, and to find refreshment. Okay. Thanks, guys.